Good evening and greetings to each one in our Savior's name. Bring you greetings from the Millville congregation, only an hour and a half south of here. It's reminded again of the beauty of northern PA as we were driving here this evening. I told my wife I remember the first time that I was in, is this Tioga County here? Remember the first time I was in Tioga County, my father was a first cousin to Willis Martin. And we came to visit Willis Martin's for a weekend, a Saturday and a Sunday. And it happened to be the weekend before the first day of buck season. And I never seen so many deer hunters in one weekend. We just marveled at the amount of people that were traveling north on that Saturday to go hunting. So that was one of the local memories of here. Well, looking at fraud awareness, the picture, the story I have to tell you tonight is not a pretty story. But in modern America today, there is fraudsters who are finding that they can pull money from honest people, and it's amazing how they accomplish it. What is fraud? Webster says that fraud is a deliberate deception practiced to secure unfair or unlawful gain. It is a form of robbery, and we've seen a tremendous increase of this in recent years. It's abounding all around us, and a lot of people say, well, it's all because of technology. That's why we have fraud today. Well, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Fraud is as old as time. This is the account of Adam and Eve in the garden, and I'm not going to take time to read it. I'm just going to pull out a few verses here and there. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then Eve took of the fruit and gave it to Adam, and he took of it. And then in verse 7 it says, and the eyes of them both were opened. Well, that's what the serpent had said. Your eyes are going to be open. Well, it was deceptive. It was in a total different way. And so this was fraud taking place back in the Garden of Eden already. Why are we so concerned about fraud today? Just a little bit of history on the Fraud Aware Committee. It was organized and started in 2021. It was formed and started as a result of a failed investment pool. There was a group of brethren who were working together on a failed investment pool to try and dissolve the problems that lay before them. And one brother made a statement. He said, how long are we going to continue to sit back and wait until another investment pool fails and then work at picking up the pieces? It is time that we work at building a guardrail at the top of the cliff instead of parking an ambulance at the bottom. I'm sure you've all heard that term in other areas before. And that's what Fraud Aware is trying to do. We are trying to be a resource of fraud identification, education, and prevention. It's operating with a board of seven brethren that are working together from various different groups of the Plain community, and another 17 to, I think it may even be 19 now, an advisory board made up of brethren over multiple state area to help direct the work. There's recently been a committee established in Indiana and Ohio, and are currently working at setting up a committee in Missouri and Illinois. The work is massive. The amount of stories that are coming to the committee, there is a hotline where people can call in when they are confronted with different things that they're facing. And the stories are coming in ways that I will tell a few accounts throughout the evening here to help you to identify a little bit what to look for. Little further on the work of the Committee on Fraud Aware, why are we doing this? Well, the reason we're doing this is not to help everyone to acquire a bigger estate or more wealth, but we are doing this in an effort to encourage stewardship and a prevent of loss of dollars and loss of testimony. The testimony that goes out from Fraud Aware started originally with their concern for the investment pools. And before we were even organized and operating, we realized that we needed to broaden out in other areas. And today there's probably more effort being spent with the scams, the everyday scams that are affecting everyone. The investment fraud does not affect us all, but I am going to just briefly touch on that just to be fair to the work of the Fraud Aware Board. First of all, what do we do? What do we focus on? We're focusing on the Plain community, trying to reach the Mennonites and the Amish, attending trade shows. Some of the trade shows that are primarily operated, very high percentage by the Plain community, such as the Airworks Auction in Mount Hope, Ohio, and the East Trade Show at Quarryville. And those type of events where we set up and pass out literature. We're also doing newsletters twice a year. I do have some newsletters in the back. I'm sorry, but they're not current. They're left over from last year. There is a new one coming out here directly for this year. And you are able to get on our mailing list. The literature I have in the back, Help Yourself. We have two books plus a booklet that have been printed so far by Fraud Aware. They're distributed by the Christian Light tonight. They're here for free. You can help yourself to them. I brought 15 along of each of the two printed books. I've met a few more people here than I was expecting. I hope 15 will put one in each family. If not, why, please pass them around. Well, back to the stewardship thing. Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's all the Lord's, it's not ours. We're just here to take care of it. In Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. It was a partnership with God to care for his property. And that's what we are doing today. In Luke 19, the parable of the pound, what would have the nobleman said if when he came to collect his pound, what he had given to them, if the steward would have said, well, I'm sorry, I lost it, I don't have it. It was rather serious, the consequences he had. He still had everything that was given to him. He just had not gained any with it. But what would have happened if it would have been lost? In the last 15 years, within the Plain community, there has been an excess of $300 million lost through failed investment pools. And I know some of you are probably saying, well, why did I come tonight? I don't have money to loan out. Well, maybe not, but maybe someday you will. And just a few directions on that. It's not just the 300 million, it's also the tens of thousands of man hours of committees and ministry and government agencies and law firms working to try and settle the dollars. They're generally made up of a three-way group. You have the investor who has the money, you have the borrower who needs the money, and then you have the one who is operating it, the perpetrator. And when these things collapse, it is unfortunate what happens to our testimony. And With all these that have failed in the last years, what has it done to our testimony of honesty and truthfulness? What could have these funds done? How many Bibles could have went to China? How many missions could have been operated around the world? Now I have a question. Why do the conservative Anabaptists fall for these illegal investment pools? Why is it that we, and this also would apply to the fraud as well, the scams and such like. Why is the Anabaptist community such a target? Why do the scammers have such a high success rate with our groups? What are your thoughts? It all comes down to one word, and there's more than one reason. Don't feel bad if you say something other than what I'm looking for, but
trust.
That's right. That's the word I wanted. It's all trust. We trust each other. From little one up, every one of us here this evening probably can say that we were used to when our parents told us something, we never had to question whether it was truth or not. And we trusted when someone told us. And this is what the rest of the world is not familiar with. They are suspicious of nearly everything. I had an old order Amishman tell me a story. He was involved in working with a failed investment pool in the Midwest, and they had a meeting with the SEC office, which is a Security and Exchange Commission, is who monitors all your local banks and such like. And they had a meeting in downtown Chicago with the SEC officials, and they explained to them how their operation was working and how they drew their funds in from their communities. And this officer told him, he said, "We, the plain people, trust others until proven different. Others do not trust until proven that they can be trusted." And that's probably why the scammers are so successful in our communities. Maybe we need to be a bit more like our neighbors and just check things out a little further. Now, I'm not applying to the brotherhood, but when we're dealing with someone that is outside of the faith, not that we want to jeopardize our Christian testimony, but do investigate and do check things out. Well, another thing that these investment pools have done is they generally bring a little better interest rate than what the banks have done. It's easy to invest, little if any paperwork, simply write a check and the interest starts clicking. Easy to borrow, little financial needing to be, checking out your financial condition. And we trust them because they're one of us. Maybe you even go to church with them. Why wouldn't you trust someone who is accepting funds to put out to others? Well, what is the impact when these things collapse? It's a sad story. I could tell stories all evening just on that. One account was a widow lady. Her husband had provided well for her, and she had her funds invested. Her husband had invested funds in one of these investment pools, and he passed away, and after that, the fund collapsed. The funds were froze while the committee was working with it. The widow sent a letter to the committee chairman asking if she could have $1,200 of her funds. She had filled her fuel tank and paid it with her credit card and needed $1,200 to pay her credit card at the end of the month. It was her money, but it could not be given to her. And in that case, it was turned over to the deacon, and they gave help and support. Another was an older couple that had been farming all their life. None of the children had interest in the farm. They sold the cows, they sold the equipment and the farm, and they made a big mistake. They invested it all in one investment fund, and that fund collapsed. They were left with nothing. And when that story was told to me, they said that their congregation was supporting them. There has been many deacon committees and work needed because of these failed investment pools. If you have money to invest, be sure it's going into an organization that is not, that it's operated by a committee and not by one individual. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Be sure it's someone who is willing to provide financial statements that are provided by a third party and not they themselves. And be sure they are licensed and legal by the SEC. If you have a mortgage or a line of credit tonight from your bank, you probably have to give annual financial updates to your bank. The reason you're doing that is not because the bank don't trust you, but the bank needs to report to the FEC on an annual basis of what the debt to asset ratio is of their customers. And if an organization is licensed with the SEC, why, you know it is being, it has some record keeping and it's being, they're reporting. Well, now moving into the scams, this is something that touches everyone. If I was to ask for a raise of hands tonight of anyone who received a scam call in the last month, why, probably most hands would go up. I'm going to simply give out some pointers to keep in mind what we can do to be on guard and be on the lookout for. Number one, if anyone calls you with a sense of urgency, one of their big things is they try and paint the picture. We have an emergency on hand. We got to take care of it today. And if you just follow my directions and do what I say, I'll help you out of this and we'll take care of it before it gets bad. The IRS and other government agencies are not going to ask for payment over the phone the same day that they call you. Even your phone companies, your power companies, these scammers like to hide under the umbrella of a reputable, respected organization that everyone knows and trusts. And whether it's a government, whether it's your power company, phone company, or whatever, they try and catch you off guard. The other thing goes along with this is often they will tell you, look, you cannot hang up. You've got to stay on the phone with me until we have this completed. If anyone ever tells you that you can't hang up, hang up. That is a disconnect. You need to give yourself time to weigh it out. And there is people who have went to banks to withdraw cash and have had their cell phones in their pocket trying to disguise the fact that they were on the phone. The bank tellers are trained for this, and if someone comes in and tries to pull out a large amount of cash, you're probably going to get quizzed what this cash is for, and that is part of the bank training on these scammers. The other thing, they will often ask them, if you're trying to pull a large amount of cash, are you on the phone with someone? Are you connected to someone? They know what to look for. And so never let someone scare you into making a quick decision. Take your time and counsel with someone else. Never make a decision on your own without going to, for the elderly people, go to your children, for the children, go to your parents and get advice. Another thing is, if it sounds too good to be true, why, it's probably not true. No one goes around passing out million-dollar gifts, and they are going to pose as that. And why do some people get caught in believing that that's going to happen? It's the love of money. And you know, it's just that thing within everyone. Do you mean it? Someone's going to give me this big prize? No, they're not. before you get the prize, you're going to have to pay something, guaranteed. And that's what they're after, is your payment to handle the paperwork or the customs or whatever the excuse is. Another thing is gift cards. Gift cards are for gifts, and they are not for payments. If anyone ever tells you to go to Walmart or the local drugstore or Target or whatever and buy a gift card and give you the number on the gift card for a payment for this, hang up. You're dealing with a scammer. Gift cards are only for one thing, and that is for giving gifts. Never send cash by UPS, FedEx, US Mail, or whatever. And I have an account to share here, and that is Dave Zimmerman, the brother-in-law of some of the Martins here this evening, who has Millville Hardware, told me the story of an elderly couple came into his store, I think it was last fall that he told me, last summer or fall. They came into his store wanting to mail something. He does UPS shipment. They were there fairly late in the afternoon, 3-4 o'clock, and wanted to send this for guaranteed overnight delivery for 10 o'clock the next morning and a California address. And Dave questioned him. He said, you're not by chance mailing cash, are you? No cash. And they kind of stammered around a little bit before they answered him. And Dave went on to tell him, he said, well, he said, there's some scammers out there who are tricking people into mailing cash. And I was just checking to be sure it's not that. And when he told him that, then they opened up and they said, well, yeah, there is cash in here. And through Dave questioning them, he avoided them sending a substantial amount of cash to a scammer across country. The next day, a son-in-law stopped in and thanked Dave for doing that. He told him, he said, they do not have enough money to lose. They don't have money to lose. So it would have been a sad situation if they would have done that. And there is just, I could tell many stories over this. You cannot go by the caller ID on your phone. They have a way of, they can put whatever number on that phone they want. They can put your bank's phone number on there. One of a brother, one of our sister congregations, received a call. He had his done his banking with Fulton Bank, and he received a call, and they said, this is a Fulton Bank calling. Some scammers have accessed your account, and you need to go to the bank and withdraw all the funds out of your account and transfer them into this account. And they gave him a routing number and an account number. So this farmer went to the bank, and he walked up to the counter at Fulton Bank, and he said, I want to withdraw all the money out of my bank account and transfer it in. And, you know, to this, gave the other information. The teller looked at him, and she said, and who told you, what's this all about? And he said, well, he said, someone called from the office here and said that the scammers accessed my account. She said, there is nothing wrong with your account. He came so close to draining his account and giving it to the scammers. So don't go by your caller ID. Verify who you're talking to. If you're in question, hang up and call back your bank or whoever they said was calling you. If you do not recognize a voice, well, hang up and call. Then you know who you're talking with. I had another account of Shoup Company from the Midwest. Some of you farmers may know them. They kind of like a mail order for farm parts, plow parts, and combine or whatever. And this Mennonite farmer had ordered something from Shoup. And it was a small order. He did not have an account with him. He just gave his credit card number. And a few minutes later, his phone rang, and they said, this is Shoup Company calling. When we entered your credit card, did the transaction, for some reason it was rejected, and our system here doesn't save the numbers, and we need your number again. It all sounded legitimate, and he gave the number and didn't think anything of it. Thankfully, he received his credit card just days after that. It happened on the last day of his billing cycle. Received his credit card shortly there afterwards. And he opened his credit card the day it came, and that's another thing. Don't let your credit, review your credit card statements immediately, that if there's any false charges, you find it out now rather than later. Here, he had to charge from Shoup, and the exact same day, he had the exact same charge by some other unrecognized account. He called his bank, and being as it was within 30 days, the bank was able to claw the fund. I mean, they stood for it. Shortly after that, he done the same thing with Messick Farm Equipment. Down in Lancaster, he called and ordered some parts, and a few minutes later, they called back with the same story. Hey, we ran your number, and it was rejected. You know, we can't save your numbers here. Could you give it again? And he told the man, he's told the parts man, he said, I will call you right back. And he hung up, and he called Messick back, and it was legitimate. That time, it was correct. So be sure you know who you're talking to. The scammers will try anything. How did that happen? With Shoup Company, it almost seems like it would have had to be something internal within the company. Who else knew that he done that charge there? Another one is bank transfers. The bank transfers is something that is, there's a tremendous amount of scams that are happening. Always double check if you're doing a wire transfer on your bank, where the funds are going to, and if you ever receive an email from the person that you're going to be paying, so you thought, saying that they made a change and they want the funds sent to a different account for whatever reason, it's probably a scam. I had it happen. I have an account here from my brother, John Edward from Ontario. He gave me permission to, I've been sharing this story numerous times, but he sold one of his buildings to a Mennonite farmer in southern Lancaster County, someone that he had known most of his life, went to school with, and they were communicating by email. He had a local salesman in Lancaster County that was handling the direct, but being it was a friend of my brother John, well, he was likewise emailing to the customer, and the order was given, the building was in production, it was time for payment, and an email was sent with the invoice for payment, and a hacker jumped in, posing as my brother, saying that We Cover Structures has changed their payment policy, and all payments coming from the states now need to be paid directly to their U.S. account, which is set up at the Truist Bank, and had an account number and routing number and account number. The farmer went to Fulton Bank to do a wire transfer to pay for his building, and he gave this email information to the teller. And the teller, she said, are you sure this is the correct information? She said, I'm just a bit concerned with what I'm seeing. She said, I can't tell you everything I see, but so the farmer called either the salesman or my brother, I'm not sure which, and he just said, this account number for the Truist Bank for us to wire this money through, are you sure this number is right? And my brother John said, what are you talking about? I never heard of it. It was 100% scam. He came so close to sending his building full payment to a scammer. Anabaptist Financial had the same thing happen recently on a real estate closing. They immediately checked it out. They did not come close to doing anything. We recently received an account of a Mennonite family or couple that had purchased a house, and this very thing happened, and their money went to a scammer. So it's sad, but be on the lookout. Wire transfers are very convenient. They're very quick. It's a way of guaranteed payment if you're receiving funds, but if you are sending funds, be sure you know who you're sending it to. Your old fax machine is safer than what your email is. Don't ever send anything on an email that you don't want the rest of the world to know, because there is hackers that can be reading your email if they want to. One account, I won't go into the detail of the happenings, but when they seen what had happened, the one who was being hacked went into his email account, and here in his sent box was the very email that the scammer had sent. Often they will try copying another email address with maybe just a period or something stuck in that you don't recognize the difference. But in that case, he was actually into his account and was using his own genuine email address. So be on the lookout. Watch for emotional manipulations where they're going to try and they use sob stories. They try and work on your feelings. They pose as grandchildren. They're in need of money. They had an accident or whatever. When that happens, just hang up and call your grandchild or call your son or daughter whose child it is and find out where they're at, what's happening. I had an old order Amishman tell me that he had that happen where the scammer called and said it was his grandson. And they will do their research. They know where your grandchildren are living. If you have grandchildren out of state, they'll say which town they're in and what happened and all. Well, this old order Amishman, he was suspicious of a scammer. He said, I started talking Pennsylvania Dutch to him. He said, he soon hung up on me. So not all of us can do that, but be sure it's who you think it is. Another is they will sometimes use threats and try and scare you. They can even get violent with you, and they're going to say they're going to send the police out. We had an account shared with us of an 80-year-old widow lady that a scammer called, and she was catching on to what was happening, apparently was not real workable, and they told her they're going to send the police out, and she said, that's fine. She said, I'll meet you at the police station. So they soon gave up on her. Well, be sure when you're in question, discuss it with a friend, talk to a trusted person, a family member, a financial advisor, someone that you can trust. The other one that they come sometimes is through the form of computer service. One brother told me once where he was using his computer and all of a sudden his computer went blank and he got a display on his screen of a serviceman carrying a toolbox and saying, you know, sorry you have computer problems, but I'm here to help you fix this. Please call this number. And never contact anyone to work on your computer that you do not know. Work with a trusted individual. There's nothing they would sooner do than for you to allow them to team view onto your computer. Never allow anyone to team view unless you know who it is. Be on the lookout for emails that have poor English. Things that are just kind of backwards, don't really flow with proper English. Often these emails are generated in another country, in another language, and they are simply translated to English. A lot of this is taking place in Pakistan and India. Asian countries is where a lot of them. And I know we can have the tendency where we can get upset at them. We can get kind of cross and moody. Are we relating to them in a Christ-like way? One of the brethren on the committee here in the past had challenged us with that. He said, remember that each one of these scammers has an eternal soul. And we should be careful how we relate to them. And I had given a talk like this in Ontario, Elmer, Ontario. And someone came to me after and told me that there was a young girl from that community. She was from Ontario and she was teaching school in the States and boarding with her grandparents and was receiving lots of, not really scammer calls, but the telemarketers. And she would tell them, look, I'm not a U.S. citizen, I'm from Canada, and I do not qualify for all your programs. But I have a question for you. Do you know Jesus? And through that question, they mailed how many Bibles to Pakistan? She would start the initial conversation, and then her father would take over. And they turned it into an outreach work. And their family actually flew to Pakistan and met several of these people that they came in contact through. Now, if we're going to start witnessing the scammers, it's not for the young. But maybe some of us older brethren could try that and see if we can stir any interest. That was a young girl in her low 20s. Another one is credit card skimmers. We recently were given some pictures of a Mennonite grocery store that had the credit card machine right on the register, and through their security system on their store, where they pulled out some pictures and sent us a clip on it, and these two men came into this store, picture them pushing their grocery cart in the door. A little later, they came to the register with their load of groceries. The one man was ahead of it, and the first thing he done is took a roll of paper towels and set them right beside the credit card reader. And the other one started asking, it was a Mennonite lady who was doing the checkout, and the owner said it was one of his best employees, had been working there for a long time, well-trained, and knew what she was doing. It appeared like he was asking her where something is in the store, because she kind of turned sideways and started pointing across, and when she was doing that, the one who was in front of the cart and had set the paper towels by the card reader took something and snapped it onto the card reader. And here it was a skimmer. And what it is in that case, they started having problems with that one credit card reader and made it known to the owner or manager there, and they went and checked it out and they discovered this. And we had pictures given to us of that. You had to really look to see that it was not an original. It snapped right over top of the existing numbers, and it was made when they swiped their card, they would be able to come back in later and pull that thing off, and they would have your credit card number. They were not taking money with it, but they were getting your card information. So I don't mean to scare you all, but before you swipe your card, they say gas pumps is another place. There they're even putting some little, what they call pinpoint cameras, and they can see when you punch your PIN number in. They are getting very aggressive and very sharp at their different methods. Not trying to create fear, but be on the lookout. Well, in years past, I got to bring this to an end. It was Ponzi schemes. It was Pigeon King. It was Rex Rabbits. It was earthworms and such like, and the list goes on. The plain community was very susceptible to a lot of those things because it was work for the children. It was good income. It was good income for the first people. But in a Ponzi scheme, they're going to blow up. If you want to see something interesting, do an online search on Ponzi. And it goes back to, I think his first name was Charlie Ponzi back in, over 100 years ago. That was all named after a man. And I won't go into that, but he was very shrewd. And it's amazing what people believed when they're making 50% interest. Here a few years ago, we had a meeting with two FBI agents, and they told us that we need to publish as many stories as we possibly can. They said the best way to stop fraud amongst the plain community is to get the stories out and let people know about it. And that's what our effort is with this work, that we could tell lots more stories, but be on the lookout. When in question, counsel with someone. Disconnect, hang up. It's just never make a quick decision. The stories that come to us, that's probably the biggest mistake people have made, and that is that they did not share their account with someone else. The book's in the back, The Village That Burnt 3 Million, is in reference to investment fraud. the widow that got scammed is more relating to phone scams and email scams. And then the little booklet on I Almost Got Caught is a group of short stories of people who were very close to getting caught and they realized what was happening. And help yourself. There's also, we have what we call Listen Library. I have little flyers back there with the phone number on. I think there's now somewhere 15, maybe a few more by now, stories. Well, you can call in on a phone number and hear the story of people telling their story of what happened when they got scammed. If anyone here has a story to tell, we would be happy if you would want to share it with us. If you want to really do something helpful, why put it in story form and keep your name out of it. Only give what you're comfortable sharing. We are looking for stories to go into our newsletter regularly. In closing, I want to read a few verses from 2 Timothy. Are these things going to come to an end? No, they're not. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then verse 13 and 14, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Evil men is going to continue to get worse. This is not going to stop. It's going to continue. Let's be on the lookout for it. Let's remember we serve a God who is far more powerful. And let's be cautious and careful, and hopefully we can be good stewards of what he has entrusted. Is there any questions? I was going to do that sooner. Sorry, I almost forgot.
Have you dealt with identity theft?
Well, it's happening all around, yes. I don't have a lot of stories to share on that. But that is a... And one of the stories I had but ran out of time was a young brother who was told that someone stole his identity. And they did have his social security number, so they did have a part of it. And the story was that they were opening bank accounts in his name and credit cards, and there was going to be a court trial, and he was to drain the money out of his checking account and send it to them, and they would hold it in a safe deposit until this trial was completed. That's another one, you know, government agencies are going to seize all your assets, send us your money quick, and we'll work with you. When it's all over, we'll return it to you. It's amazing when someone is scared what they will believe. So don't let them scare you. If someone scares you, hang up. They tell you you can't hang up. You can. You must hang up. Any more questions? Sorry, I didn't really answer your question, but yeah, it is a growing problem. Well, if not, let's continue on trying to be good stewards.